Staying on your self-actualization path is a lifelong process. Always be aware of the voices that keep you wedded to your status quo. They can be inner voices, which amount to your own self-doubts, or outer messages given to you by those who have a vested interest in keeping you from leaving your comfort zone. These voices will say things like, "Your feelings don't count," "You must accept an explanation or definition of the situation other than the one that feels right to you," "You don't have the right to control or to determine what you experience," "Your desire to change shows you're not grateful for what others have done for you," "Others' definitions of the real issues are true, and your definitions are false or irrelevant. After all, who are you to know what's best for you? You can't really have the feelings you say you do. You must be tired or confused. You're not old enough, smart enough, rich enough, or experienced enough to trust your own feelings or perceptions. You mustn't do anything to make anyone else feel insecure or anxious. When a career choice puts meaning in conflict with monetary rewards, pick the monetary rewards. And of course, play it safe, even when your deeper desire is to do what's riskier. The good news is that you now have the ammunition to prevent these voices, both inner and outer, from defeating you. So here are some final suggestions for maintaining your self-actualizing path. Form close support groups. Your family, friends, and close associates, provided they can be counted on to help you to grow as a person, can provide vital support, especially at those times when it feels perfectly right to go backwards. Define problems specifically when they occur and seek solutions to those defined problems, but don't ever negate yourself. When you put yourself down, you define yourself as incompetent to solve the problem, and that by definition is self-defeating. Concentrate on what gives you meaning, what intrinsically motivates you. Never stop learning new life skills. Understand that there's no way around taking risks. Remember what Maslow pointed out with superb wisdom, that safety can provide temporary comfort, but rarely favorable long-term consequences. Fear and anxiety are the enemies of risk-taking. Facing those fears can certainly be difficult, but remember the alternative. To help you to take risks, use the act-as-if technique often when you need to muster courage, wisdom, or motivation. Meditate and visualize often. Stay in touch with your feelings and all parts of your inner self. And finally, remember the positive long-term rewards for staying true to yourself, and don't get off your chosen path for anything or anyone.
I have interests in many areas, and I feel like my career is locking me into just one area. How can I develop all my interests?
Well, first is to look at just what you're doing in terms of your career. Why are you locked into just one area? Are you doing what you really want to be doing? Are you in a situation that allows for growth? Or are you telling yourself that you're locked in and you don't have any way out? If that's the case, it's very possible that you're looking at making a major life change. And to the extent that you need to make a major life change, it's possible that the career path you've chosen isn't working for you. So review what is important to you and review what the potential is for your job to be fulfilling to you in the long run. And it may not be feasible for you to make a change right now, but you can start laying the groundwork if it turns out that the only way you're going to be able to find your life more fulfilling is to move on to something else.
I like to spend my free time watching movies and going out with my friends. Am I shortchanging myself by not pursuing more cultural activities?
Well, cultural activities, in your case, could be a buzzword for things you're telling yourself you should be doing, rather than things that you truly enjoy doing. Question that you need to ask yourself is, why are you spending free time doing things that you yourself are defining as being not very growthful, is it fulfilling some other need in you? And incidentally, there's no one who can make the determination that more intellectual ways of spending your time are really better for you. You can be extremely self-actualized and still spend a lot of time watching movies and going out with your friends. Cultural activities are great if you've chosen them, but if you're doing them only because you think you should be doing them, or you think that people of your caliber do that kind of thing more, or that people will respect you more if you spend your time in that way, then you're really fooling yourself. So ask yourself, what is it you really want to do? What hell is it you really want to spend your time? And therein lies the answer. As long as you have made the determination, you're on the right path. Watch that you don't get hooked into someone else's value system. That's a trap that comes up every day of the week. And if you let yourself get drawn into it, it'll pull you far away from where you want to be.
I really hate public speaking, and my job doesn't require it. Can I achieve self-actualization if I leave this skill undeveloped?
There are no skills that you need to have in order to be self-actualized. That's a myth. That's a myth that you're laying on yourself, and it can be a myth that can pull you in all of the wrong directions. Public speaking isn't for everybody. If this is something that you would consider intrinsically to be a challenge to develop, there are lots of ways to develop public speaking skills. On the other hand, if it's not important to you, or if you find that public speaking does not fulfill any of the needs that you've defined, leave it alone. If it becomes required, you can always develop it. But again, don't tell yourself you should be doing it if that is not what you in your heart of hearts believe.
I love my job, but I don't make enough money to travel much, and traveling is a high priority for me. What should I do?
Traveling can be a lot of fun, and to the extent that it is a priority, you will find a way to travel. But to the extent that you are able to travel, make it the kind of travel you really want to do, and savor every moment of it. You may want to find very inexpensive ways of doing it, and at the same time, even though you love your job very much, you may also want to look into the possibility of eventually finding the kind of work that will allow you to travel.
I stay home to care for the kids, and I don't think my husband recognizes my contribution. How can I feel good about myself without my husband's support?
Remember, your husband's support is something that is extrinsic, external, something that would be nice to have to the extent that it's available to you, but it may not be available to you. And if it isn't, you want to let him know just how important his support is to you and how it's to his advantage to give you more support. But you can do yourself an awful lot of good by providing the lion's share of support to yourself by ensuring that you're doing what you want to be doing with your life. This is the kind of support that no one can ever take away from you.
I'm very concerned about the environment, but the company I work for produces non-recyclable plastics. Am I a hypocrite?
No, you're absolutely not being a hypocrite at all. This is something that you have no control over. If the fact that you're company is not ecologically minded makes you not feel as committed to your job or to the environment as you need to be, you may want to note this about yourself, and when you begin to take the next step in your career, whether it be right away or whether it be sometime down the road, realize that this is a very high value that you hold, and don't allow yourself to get into a work situation where this standard of yours is not being met. However, calling yourself a hypocrite is really putting yourself down, because this is not a situation over which you have any control other than leaving your job, which may not be in your best interest right now. In the meantime, give the situation a little bit of acceptance, even though it's not the way you would choose it to be. Accepting things you can't change is a crucial life skill, and to the extent that you don't allow yourself to do that, you're practically always going to be unduly upset about something.
My wife and I want to have kids, but neither of us wants to sacrifice our career. Can we really have it all?
Having it all is rare. I know very few people who truly have it all. In fact, a good rule of thumb is that you can probably achieve just about anything you work for in life as long as you're persistent and you follow a workable path. But having everything you want is another story. Sometimes trying to have everything you want negates the very things that you do have. Making career sacrifices for children is something that many couples are able to work through once they have decided that having children is a direction they want to take, and they're able to program what their priorities are and, of course, give each other support. Having children will change your life forever. You need to look at such issues as how much hands-on parenting would you need to do in order to have children and to consider having children the right step. In addition, depending on your age, you may want to put it off for a little while until things get clearer or until you're financially able to take the kind of leaves of absence that you may want to in order to provide the level of parenting, particularly at the beginning, that you want to. There are many, many ways to pull this off, and many, many couples have been able to do this superbly, but it takes juggling and it takes a lot of values clarification. If you're biologically able to wait, you may want to give making this decision a little bit more time, because it's one of the most major decisions you'll ever make, arguably the most major decision you'll ever make. And you don't want to make it haphazardly.
Our son doesn't want to go to college, even though my wife and I have always stressed the importance of a college education. Should we insist he go, or should we just let him make his own mistakes?
Colleges will be there in 5 years. They'll be there in 10 years. If he doesn't want to go, there's reason to believe that he's not going to do well once he gets there. And with that in mind, for him to know what his path is, or at least have a sense of it, would be a much more important step for him to take right now. I would encourage him to consider college if it is something that fits in with his overall plans. But remember, some of the most successful people around are in fields that don't require college educations, that require other kinds of training, or that require developing creativity. Let him mature in this area at his own pace. I've seen many, many people in my practice over the years who made what they thought was the right decision because this was what was instilled in them by their parents, only to find out many years later that they were unhappy, they were depressed, they were not doing what they wanted to do, and only because they were not encouraged to begin on their own path. So he's telling you that he has a mind of his own, and as parents, that's something that you should be proud of. Let him use it.
My brother is a lot more successful than I am. Even if I'm happy with my life, is he more likely to achieve self-actualization?
It depends on how you define success. If success is defined in terms of money, remember, money is an extrinsic reward which does not necessarily spell the kind of inner success that we're talking about when we talk about self-actualization. If your brother is more on the path that he has set for himself, whether he's successful or not, then he is more likely to achieve self-actualization. On the other hand, if he is not, and his sole motivation is through monetary rewards, then he may not be any further along than you are. You can't compare someone else's success with your own, because there are lots of variables involved here. If you're measuring success in monetary terms, then of course you're looking at it from the standpoint of extrinsic rewards, and extrinsic rewards don't spell success. Extrinsic rewards don't necessarily turn into self-actualization. So stay on your own individual path of success and don't compare yourself with someone else. Very likely you're comparing your insides with someone else's outsides, and they're really two incompatible things. There's no standard by which two people can be adequately compared.
I get sick more often than most people. Can I use the process of self-actualization to improve my health?
Sometimes when you're under a lot of stress, the way your body shows it is to acquire illnesses that other people are able to fend off a little bit better by virtue of their immune system. And I think that the process of self-actualization, if nothing else, addresses the areas in your life where you're being pulled in directions where you don't want to go. No one can tell you that your health issues can be turned around by use of any psychological or mental process. That's something that only you can determine with your doctor, who can diagnose the reason that you seem to be having this problem. But to the extent that you are living the life you want to be living, you're going toward a much more stress-free existence, and recent studies have shown very high correlation between virtually every kind of disease and the amount of stress that a person finds him or herself under. If you can reduce your stress and be as true to yourself as possible, the benefits will be numerous, and I think you'll find that an improvement in your health will be one of them.
I still think about my first girlfriend, who's now married, and I wonder if it was a mistake to end the relationship. Can I ever be happy with anyone else?
You can absolutely be happy with someone else. In fact, you had better work very vigorously on being happy with someone else, because obviously your first girlfriend is no longer available to you. Of course, having another relationship involves letting go of the first one, and in that process, learning whatever you can from that first relationship, transforming that knowledge into the kind of person you want to get involved with next, will help you to avoid making the same mistakes that may have caused the first relationship to break up. Ending a love relationship involves accepting the fact that the relationship has run its course and didn't necessarily fail. It probably worked for you for a while. And it is very important that you see that there is nothing that first relationship triggered inside of you that isn't still there to be activated by another more appropriate relationship, if only you let that happen.
I'm not naturally spontaneous, but I'd like to be. How can I develop this quality?
Maybe even asking this question was an act of spontaneity. Spontaneity simply means trusting your feelings. Perhaps you're being a little bit too cautious. Perhaps you're a little bit self-conscious when it comes to expressing your feelings, when it comes to doing something on the spur of the moment. There are some people who are a little bit too spontaneous and as a result lead lives that are reckless. I don't think we have to worry about that with you. But what I do think we have to worry about is that you
trust yourself and realize that you have as much of a capacity for spontaneity as anyone else. All you have to do is trust yourself in that area and it will develop spontaneously.
Now that I'm married, I'm finding that marriage is a lot more work than I thought it would be. Do you think I'm just meant to be single?
Well, the question is, why is marriage a lot of work? Are there issues that need to be dealt with? Is it that you just need to make an adjustment? These are all questions that you have to ask yourself. Some people find that they're happiest when they live alone. And for other people, it's not just the idea that you're living with someone else that's the problem. It could be the other person you're living with. Or it could just be that you need to endure a little bit of short-term pain and adjustment until that becomes more comfortable for you. My strongest suggestion to you is that you sit down with your partner and talk about your feelings. Win, lose, or draw, that will bring you closer together. You may find that your partner is having some feelings like this as well. And remember, anyone who tells you that it is easy and without adjustment has not been through the experience. But I urge you to deepen your level of communication by having what may turn out to be the most intimate talk you've had yet. I think you'll find it well worth the risk.
If I give extra time to certain friends, am I hurting my other relationships?
This is a matter of your own choice. Some friends who are requiring way more energy than you wish to give them may be best dealt with by pulling back a little bit. Sometimes when it comes to managing relationships, it's a phenomenon where the squeaky wheel gets the grease. But people who are being too demanding of you without giving enough in return represent relationships you may want to reevaluate. That's something that can be done, and you may need to take the risk to confront certain people and say, I really need to pull back from you a little bit because I need to concentrate on other people or other areas of my life right now. Someone who then becomes rejecting because you've put that out probably was not much of a friend after all. But your true friends will understand and will help you to resolve the dilemma. This may even be a good litmus test to see who your true friends are.
I have a very short attention span. Is it simply a matter of genetics, or is it a skill that I can develop?
A short attention span is usually a sign of low frustration tolerance. It's usually a sign that when there is something going on that you don't subscribe to or not totally interested in, you find yourself drifting away. This can certainly be developed. Saying anything is a matter of genetics, by the way, can get to be a cop-out, particularly when there's work that can be done in that area. My suggestion to you is twofold. First of all, think about the things that trigger your attention deficit. Your short attention span may be a sign that you're putting way too much energy in the wrong direction. Once you've done that, let yourself consciously think of an attention span as being a muscle that you'd like to develop. And the more you work it out, the stronger it will get. You might want to even force yourself to do some boring things just to exercise your attention span. This has helped many, many people, and it can help you as well.
I'm one of those people who's always late for everything. Will that limit me in terms of self-actualization?
Who's responsible for the fact that you're late for everything? Obviously, you'll say you are, and that would imply that you've made a choice. To the extent that you can make a choice to be late, you can also make a choice to be on time. But to the extent that you believe that it's out of your power
to choose differently, then, of course, there's no telling how far that philosophy can go in pulling you away from your quest towards self-actualization. So being late or being on time in and of itself isn't the issue. The issue is, are you willing to take responsibility for your choices? And if you are, then you're on the right track.
I just retired after a successful career, and my kids have all moved out of the house. What's next for me in terms of self-actualization?
What's next in that regard is, of course, something that only you can determine. What's next is making the choice as to where you go with your life from here. Many people would say, well, you've achieved everything that you need to achieve in this life. But of course, they're making that judgment for you. Obviously, you're not making that judgment for yourself. So my suggestion to you is that you ask yourself this question: if I have lived a very good, rich, and fulfilling life, and I've come to this point, what could be the cherry on top of the sundae? That's really the question you're asking. And again, that is only a choice that you can make. How would you like to see the rest of your years lived out? This is a question that you need to be asking yourself, and you're very lucky because a lot of people don't get to ask that question.
I'm a successful executive. I'm very satisfied in my professional life, but I seem to be lacking in my personal life. How can I address this problem?
Well, let's start with this question. What specifically is lacking? Is it in the area of relationships? Is it in the area of intimacy in relationships? Are you someone who would like to have children who doesn't? Are you someone who would like to deepen friendships? Is there some avocation that might tap into some of your creativity in a way that your career doesn't? It could also be that you're experiencing depression. Sometimes when nothing specific comes up, that becomes the culprit. But assuming that you can find an answer to that question of what is missing, or at least the beginning of an answer, or at least a clue, then you've taken a very major step toward getting yourself out of the rut. And indeed, you can be doing very well in the vocational end of your life and be in a tremendous rut personally, or the other way around. Some people are doing very well in their personal lives but find their career being a rut. And it can even go back and forth. This is what being aware of your needs at all times will help you to focus on. And that is a lifelong process.
All my friends are married and they keep pressuring me to get married. Do I need to be married to be a self-actualized person?
Being married or being unmarried has nothing whatsoever to do with self-actualization. Some of the most unactualized people in the world are married, and some of the most actualized people are not. The fact that your friends are pressuring you should have no bearing whatsoever on whether you marry or do anything else in your life. In fact, being self-actualized, if it means nothing else, means making your own decisions, especially in the most important areas of your life, and whether or not you're married is certainly one of those areas. So to be a self-actualized person, the first step is to start making your own decisions and pay a little less attention to what everyone else tells you. The pieces to the puzzle of who you are can change often throughout your life when you're on the path to self-actualization. Relationships, jobs, hobbies may all come together for a time and then change. Allow this aspect of life to excite you, never to defeat you. You may need to go over different sides of this series many times in order to really digest and integrate what's been said. The true potential of what each side can mean in your life is in your hands. I hope you've enjoyed self-actualization, achieving your full potential, and that it will provide you with an ongoing source of nourishment and support. And remember, when the obstacles to achieving self-actualization get in your way, keep going. Don't let them stop you. Walk on, and the result will be a richer life than you could ever have imagined.